Thank you, Brad, for those good songs. We welcome all of you that are visiting with us tonight. We appreciate everyone that's here, especially those that are visiting. We want you to come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. We're sorry that Jay is not feeling well tonight, so I'm filling in tonight, and I hope and trust that we'll all be able to worship God in spirit and truth and encourage one another in the work of the Lord. When you read John chapter 6, can't help but be impressed with the following of Jesus Christ. Why did so many people follow Jesus? There was a reason. They listened. They would assemble maybe thousands. And he would stand on the mountaintop. And he would proclaim the truth. He attracted people. They saw the miracles that he did. And no wonder then, in the sixth chapter of the book of John, we read where the Bible tells us that multitudes were following Jesus. But when Jesus taught that he was the bread of life, there were many that said this was a difficult saying. Who can bear that? And they ceased following after him. Some that had been following him closely ceased following him. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and he asks them this question. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And we could talk about that for the whole time tonight. Just think. No longer will they be with him. No longer are they lining up with him. No longer are they walking with him. And then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will you also go away? You just must surely feel how these disciples must have felt when Jesus turned to them. And Jesus said, "Will you also go away?" And that was the impetuous Peter, Simon Peter. Peter had mentioned on one occasion in Matthew 7 where he beheld Jesus transfigured. There Christ is speaking with Moses and Elijah. And Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and there was a voice that came forth out of that cloud that said, "This is..." That settled us forever. The voice was God's. The voice from God said, "This is mine. Who? My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." No wonder then Peter speaks up. And Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." While he had said, "Let's build three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah." But God is silenced. God said, "You hear my Son." So Peter now says, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Let that think in your mind for a moment. When you turn away from Jesus, I ask you, to whom shall you go? Who can save you? Who can be with you? Who can give you that peace that passeth all understanding? Who can forgive you? None but Jesus. He says, "You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." The Bible says Peter made a confession. And the reason why, he believed. He believed that Jesus had the words. That the words that came forth out of his mouth were words that were words of eternal life. And he said, "You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and we are sure." No question about it. "My faith is strong," Peter is saying. "We believe and we are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Friends, he was not going to be among the number who ceased to follow Jesus. We need to ask ourselves the question, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" There are many places we could turn to indeed. Many do turn away from the only way that leads them to heaven above. To whom could we go? Well, some could turn to the opinions of others. Many turn to whatever the majority believe. We'll believe if everybody else just about is believing. What have we always been taught? What do the latest polls say? Yes, you could turn to the majority. But my friends, listen to Jesus. Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many, the way of the majority, Jesus said, is the way of the many who cannot have eternal life. Those who turn and follow the opinions of others cannot have eternal life when they're not following Jesus. And he said that, enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. Wait. What is the Lord saying? Not everybody's going to be in it. Not everybody's going to be saved. Jesus, what are you saying? Few there be that find it. If you had followed the majority in Noah's day, you would have perished in the flood, because there were only 8 souls that were saved by water. Those 8 souls were saved because the righteousness of this great man, and they believed in God. What is the end of those that follow the majority? Some believe that human wisdom can lead them to truth and life. You turn on the TV and you listen to some of the philosophers. You pay attention sometimes to some of the key sociologists or the psychologists on their talk show, and they're telling you, there's many ways to God. What? Who do you think you are to say that there's only one way? There's only one way, God's way. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And remember Jesus said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 15, verse 9. Some will risk their eternal salvation on what their favorite preacher or priest or leader may say. They reason that these men are men of God. These men are men who've studied the Bible. They know the Bible. They've searched the Bible. They could not be wrong. And they would not lead you astray. That's their thinking. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Remember Jim Jones? I was just looking at a run concerning some of the things that were on television concerning what happened. Those people believed in him, and he led them to their death. Friend, I'm asking you, are we going to listen to a preacher? Are we going to listen to a priest or to some leader? Lord, to whom shall we go? The Bible tells us in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, though we are an angel from heaven preaching any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema. As we've said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Who said that, Paul? Why did he say that? Because you can't be saved in any other gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way. In Matthew 15, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But listen to what Jesus answered. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Who said that? The Lord. Lord, to whom shall we go? Hopefully we'll turn to Him. Let them alone, Jesus said. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. What? The blind leading the blind, it's inevitable that they both stumble and fall into the ditch. Some preachers, some priests, some leaders. Is that who we're going to turn to? Then there are those who think that they're going to be saved because their conscience is clear. Let your conscience be your guide, but our conscience cannot always be reliable. Why? The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 23 verse 1 said, I have lived in all good conscience before God in this day. And he had. He really thought what he was doing was right. He makes the statement, I thought I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, to whom shall we go? We're going to go to you, Lord. Even when he was persecuting Christians, he thought he was right. Listen to what Luke writes that he said. I barely thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities, zealous, but not according to knowledge. Lord, our conscience is like a clock, which works properly only if set properly. When Saul of Tarsus learned the truth in Acts chapter 9, and he asked this wonderful question, Lord, what will you have me to do? He didn't go to any of the other disciples. He wanted to know from the Lord what the Lord wanted him to do. Lord, to whom shall we go? Well, it makes me feel good to do this. That's what I want to follow. Anything that will lift me up and make me feel real good. I just want to feel right. And we surely ought to want to feel right. Many will go by their feelings, though. Many people put their stock in things better felt than told. I was talking to a lady, even last week. And she was telling me what all the Lord was telling her to do. And she said, the Lord told me to do this, and she said, I did it, and here's what happened. Friend, what does the Lord tell us, and where do we find what He tells us? In His Word, and He tells us all the truth. God reminds us in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto a man. Boy, that would be something. Standing before God in the great day of judgment to give an account for everything that we said or done. And then we say, but Lord, I felt so good doing what I was. I thought that ought to do it. That's repeated in Proverbs 16:25. Oh Lord, in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. I can't do it without listening to the instruction of God. In Proverbs 28, verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Surely, we want to do what God wants us to do. In Hosea 4, verse 6, listen. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What is the number one problem that we all have? And that is a failure to really study and learn God's precious truth. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 26, verse 3, how that if we put our trust in God, God will direct us accordingly. in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Not some of it. Put your whole heart in it. Where in the Lord? Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding in all thy ways. Not in some of them. God said, I want you all. I want all of you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Paul thought he ought to do a lot of things contrary to the name of Jesus. None of these things should be the ultimate source to where we turn if we are looking for the words of eternal life. And Peter recognized that. What saith the Scripture should be the theme that we have. When Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them. Can you imagine it? Just think. If he said to you or to me, depart from me, ye that work iniquities. You've done many good works, but those works were your own, not mine. Lord, to whom shall we go? We really want to do your work. We want to be filled with your Spirit, be guided. No wonder in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father through Him. 1 John 3, verse 4, whosoever goeth onward and transgresseth the will of God, he sins against God. Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I like that story about this young man that came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, Master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And isn't it wonderful, Jesus answered and told him. Told him to keep the commandments and told him which ones. And he said, all these things I've done from my youth up, what lack I yet? Who wants to be standing where that young man is standing at the day of judgment? Jesus said, go and sell everything you have. Give it away to the poor so they can't give it back to you. Go and give it all. And come and follow me. But you know what? To separate a man from his wealth, from his money, it's pretty tough. The Bible says that he turned away sorrowful, for he was a man of great possessions. Lord, to whom shall we go? The obvious answer is surely to Jesus Christ. To listen to Him, to do His will, add not nor take away. Just do the will of God. Buzz shared with me this morning a poem somewhat that he wrote about his mother. I believe he said the day she died. Pauline Lovell was a woman that I'd known for many, many years. She, like many of you who are older, that we've worked together with, we love so very dearly. But she, like us, met the appointment of death. Buzz wrote these words. Her children rise up and call her blessed. The summons will rightly proclaim. Her husband delights with the thought of her presence. He smiles at the sound of her name. Beauty without, and I love that. Beauty within, knowledge and wisdom untold. Virtue, kindness, and love all in one. Godliness flows from her soul. Loving her children, loving her husband, this mother had so much to give. She nurtured our life as a mother, a wife. She brightened the home where she lived, and now... And now, listen, Now that she's gone to a much better home, my task is quite clearly implied. To live in a way that I'll see her someday, God's grace will bring me to her side. We're all going down the valley one by one. Ages, years seemingly have flown by. But we're going to meet the Lord. To whom shall we go? Lord, You're the only one. You're the Savior. And I want to tell you something tonight, beloved, if you're not a Christian. He's waiting for you to obey Him. Do you believe in Him? He died that ignominious death upon the cross. He suffered pain and agony. His blood was spilled so my blood, your blood, our souls could be saved. Who then would do like all of those people did in John chapter 6? So many of them. They had been following Him. They had been listening to Him. But when He taught that He was the bread of life, taught them the truth, they no longer would follow Him. And no wonder He looked at His apostles, those He loved so much. Can them almost hear the Master? Will you too go away? I want to be like Peter, don't you? Yeah, where would you go? Where would you turn? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and we're sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. If you're not a Christian, become one tonight. If you're a wayfaring child of God, you stumbled and come back. He loves you and cares for you. To whom will you go? We hope that you'll turn and obey Him. And we hope and pray to God when this short life is over for us. We can hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." A beautiful hymn is being sung. It's to encourage you. Won't you come and obey the gospel right now?